Well, I'm Pastor Ray, and once again, we just welcome you to our church. We're so glad that you've chosen to spend your Christmas Eve with us to celebrate and to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. You'll find that on page 1014 in your pew Bibles. It's Christmas Eve, and we've been preparing for Christmas all month long here at Plantation Community Church. And the way we've been doing it is for the four Sundays of December, we've been working our way through the Gospel of Luke. And we just finished chapter 1 a couple days ago, which brings us right to chapter 2, which is perfect because it's Christmas Eve, and chapter 2 is all about the birth of Christ. And the passage we'll be looking at tonight, it's really one of the most famous, familiar passages in all of Scripture. This is even the passage that Linus, you know, the Charlie Brown Christmas special, this is the passage that Linus reads when Charlie Brown asks, "Can anyone tell me the true meaning of Christmas?" And Linus says, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you the true meaning of Christmas." Then he gets up on the stage and the spotlight comes on him. And you know what he does? From memory, that's pretty good for a cartoon kid. From memory, he recites Luke chapter 2, the passage we're going to be looking at tonight. It's a wonderful passage, beautiful in its presentation, inspiring in its content, awesome in its message. It's a passage we read at our house every Christmas Eve as a family. It's just not Christmas if you don't have Luke chapter 2 in there somewhere. This is what it's all about. This is the story of the first Christmas. And so we're going to just look at verses 1 through 20 tonight. But as we get started, I'll just read verses 8 through 12. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we spend just the next few moments reflecting on your word together, Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to our hearts the true meaning of Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, one of the themes we've been tracing over the past number of weeks is how God himself prepared for that first Christmas. I know that you've been making a lot of preparations for Christmas. We've been making a lot of preparations. But did you know that God himself made a lot of preparations for that very first Christmas? He sent prophets centuries before foretelling the birth of Christ. He gave Zechariah and Elizabeth a son in their old age. We looked at that in the opening verses of Luke chapter 1. That child was John the Baptist. And then John was the forerunner to Christ. John would go before Christ to prepare the way for him. And then we saw how God enabled Mary to conceive Jesus without the help of any man. This was also in fulfillment of prophecy. God also gave Mary a husband, Joseph. Joseph was a righteous man in the line of David, and Joseph was there to protect her and to provide a home for her and the child that he adopted as his own. We're going to look at these 20 verses together, and in your bulletin, there's a little outline to the message if you want to look at it. The three things we're going to be looking at tonight is Bethlehem, the planned place for Christ's birth; the shepherds, God's chosen witnesses of Christ's birth; and then pondering and praise, fitting responses to Christ's birth. So first of all, Bethlehem, the planned place for Christ's birth. Remember, God prepared for the first Christmas. And God's careful planning and preparation that we've already looked at continues right into our passage today, because what we see in chapter 2 is that God was also working through the circumstances of history to ensure that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just as it had been promised by the prophets long ago. Look at verses 1 through 3 with me. It says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So this was something the Romans did on a fairly regular basis. They conducted a census. This was part of their taxation system. This was how they kept the empire going. Luke dates this particular census. He says it's the first one that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And if you check the historical records, we don't know the actual year, the exact year of this census, but we have some other clues as to the date of Christ's birth from Scripture. And probably the biggest clue we have is we know that Jesus was born sometime before Herod, the king, King Herod, before King Herod died. And we know from history, King Herod died in the year 4 B.C., which means Jesus was probably born in the year 4 or 5 B.C., not in the year 0 B.C., as we sometimes expect. And by the way, you might say, well, why is it off by so much? Well, it's not the Bible's fault, okay? If you want to blame anybody, you've got to blame this guy named Dionysius. And Dionysius lived in the 6th century A.D., and he's the one who put the whole calendar together, the whole B.C. A.D. thing. He must have been so excited. Only problem was he goofed. He was off by about 4 or 5 years. By then it was too late. Everybody was used to it. And so I've always thought it was kind of funny that according to our calendar, Christ was born 4 or 5 years before Christ. You know, ever think of that? 4 or 5 years B.C. But anyways, the way the census worked is everyone had to go to the town of their ancestors to register. And so we read next in verses 4 and 5, it says, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. So Joseph lived in Nazareth. That's way up in the north part of Israel. He has to travel all the way down to Judea to Bethlehem for the census. Mary comes with him, and that's how it came to be that Mary was in Bethlehem when the time came for Jesus to be born. Because Bethlehem was the place God had planned for Jesus' birth so many centuries before. Now, I want you to think just for a minute now about all that had to happen in order for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. First of all, Mary had to be engaged, pledged to be married to someone from the house of David, right? Otherwise, she wouldn't have been traveling to Bethlehem at all, especially so late in her pregnancy. And then secondly, the census had to take place at just the right time, right? And there's even more involved because there's some evidence to suggest that Caesar may have called for this particular census several years earlier. This may have been the census of 8 B.C., but that Herod delayed the enforcement of the census. And so then when Herod finally said, okay, we've got to do this now, Joseph and Mary arrive in Bethlehem when? Just as Jesus is ready to be born. And then you have to think that for the census even to take place, you got to have something called the Roman Empire. And so God had to work with, you know, Alexander the Great and then the Roman Empire coming in and taking over the Greeks and all of that coming together. It really just boggles the mind when you think of all that God did, all the means God used to bring about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. You got people scurrying all over the Roman Empire to comply with the census. And all of it was subordinate to one master purpose, that Christ would be born in Bethlehem as God planned, and as was prophesied in Scripture. Then we move to verses 6 and 7, where we come to the circumstances of Jesus' birth. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And so Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God made flesh, was born into the most humble of circumstances. There was no room for him in the inn, but God prepared a place for him. Mary placed him in the manger. That wasn't a little cradle or bassinet. That was a feeding trough, okay? A rough feeding trough for animals. This would have been located wherever the animals were, right? Because they had to eat out of it. So probably a stable attached to a house, or maybe even a cave. Think about it. God could have prepared any place for his son to be born. He could have chosen the most luxurious palace in the most powerful city in the world, but he chose the manger. He chose the manger because Jesus came to live a life of humility and sacrifice. In fact, you can draw a straight line through Jesus' life from the manger in Bethlehem to the cross at Calvary, where Jesus made the greatest sacrifice of all. Because you see, the child born in the manger was born into this world for one purpose, and one purpose only, that he would die on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be restored to relationship with God. That is the true meaning of Christmas. And that's the meaning that was communicated to the shepherds the night of Jesus' birth. We move now to the shepherds, God's chosen witnesses of Christ's birth. Look at verses 8 through 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And just as God chose the humble manger in Bethlehem as the place for Christ's birth, so also God chose the lowly shepherds to be the first witnesses of Christ's birth. God did not choose the political or the religious leaders of the day. He did not choose those with power, influence. He chose the shepherds. Because the shepherds, you know who they were? They were nobody. The shepherds weren't anyone special. These were just common men doing a common job. These particular shepherds were stuck doing the night shift, right? But it was a night shift they would never forget. And when the angel first appeared with the glory of the Lord shining all around them, they were terrified. The angel had to calm them down. He spoke those words of comfort. He says, "There's good news. It's good news. Good news of great joy. For all the people, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Who was born on Christmas Day? We know it's Jesus, right? But what does the angel say? The angel says, a Savior has been born. Months earlier, the angel went to Joseph and spoke to Joseph about this child that Mary was carrying. And at that time, the angel told Joseph this. He said, "Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Once again, the emphasis, even at Jesus' birth, even before his birth, is that he is the Savior. The manger is but the prelude to the cross. Jesus was born to die so that we might live forever. That is the good news of great joy that the angel brought to the shepherds. And then we read that a whole host of angels appeared. Look at the next verses, 13 and 14. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." God had sent his Son into the world to be our Savior. And so the angel saying, "Glory, glory, glory to God in the highest." And they proclaimed peace, peace on earth to those on whom God's favor rests. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus brings us peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins. He brings us the peace of God through the Holy Spirit, and one day he will return and he will rule in peace over his people forever. And on that day we will all sing God's glory forever. The shepherds must have marveled at the words of the angels. But the shepherds were not only to be hearers of this good news, they were chosen to be witnesses. The angel gave them a sign that all these things were true. The angel said, you're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. That sign implied something. What did it imply? They're supposed to go there, right? They're supposed to go and see this baby for themselves. And so we read in verses 15 and 16, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And so the shepherds became eyewitnesses of Christ's birth. They left the fields, they found the baby lying in the manger, just as the angel said. But the shepherds were to be more than just eyewitnesses, because look at verses 17 and 18. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So the shepherds were not only eyewitnesses, they were also verbal witnesses, in the sense that they gave witness to what they had seen and heard. Because you see, a silent witness is no witness at all. It's not enough just to see something to be a witness. You need to tell others what you've seen before you are truly a witness. That's what the shepherds did. They spread the word all around about this child, about what the angel had told them. They were the first to witness Christ at his birth, and they were the first to witness for Christ after his birth. And then finally, in verses 19 and 20, we come to the two fitting responses to Christ's birth. They were fitting responses back then, and they are still fitting responses today. The first response is found in verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. This is the first appropriate response to the Christmas story, to take some time to ponder these things, to think about the mystery of God coming to earth and becoming flesh, to consider all that God did in and through the Roman Empire and the census to bring about the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, to marvel at God's choice of a manger as the birthplace for his son, to contemplate God's choice of the shepherds as the first witnesses for Christ, and most of all, to wonder at God's amazing grace in sending his son to be our Savior. Let me ask you, in all the hustle and the bustle of the Christmas season, the Christmas rush, have you done this? Have you set aside time just to think about Christmas? Just to think about what it really means? Now, if you're here tonight, that counts, okay? I'm going to let that one count, okay? And I look around, you're all here tonight, okay? But how about on your time on your own? How about time with your family? Each year at Christmas, in the month of December, Rosie and I, we like to center our devotions around the themes of Christmas. And so we'll read portions of Scripture relating to Christmas, or we'll read books about the birth of Christ. And if you're looking for some good devotional books about Christmas, on the backside of that outline, we've written down some of our favorite books. These are the ones that have meant a lot to us over the years. And I've written down a bunch of them for you. You can look them up and maybe pick up a couple. You could read one or two this year or pick them up for next year. But you see, Mary pondered. She treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. It means she stored up every precious detail. She held on to every truth she could find. She did not want to miss a single aspect of all that the Christmas story held for her and for her people and indeed for the whole world. That's the first fitting response to Christmas, to ponder on these things. And then the second response is found in our last verse, verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Praise. Praise is the second appropriate response to the story of Christmas. Praise goes along with pondering, because when you take time to reflect on the true meaning of Christmas, you will find yourself breaking out into praise for God, praising Him for what He has done for us through Christ at Christmas. There's so many ways you can praise God at Christmas. You can praise Him through the many beautiful songs and carols, even as we've done tonight. You can praise Him through scripture and prayer. You can praise Him through an attitude of thankfulness to God. Or like the shepherds, you can praise Him by telling other people about Christ. Mary pondered, the shepherds praised. We should do both, because these are both fitting responses to Christ's birth. It's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow's Christmas. And so I'm assuming you've made all of your physical preparations. I hope you've made all of your physical preparations by now. But as we close tonight, let me ask you one more time. Have you prepared your heart? Have you prepared your heart spiritually for Christmas? When you go to bed tonight, when you wake up tomorrow morning, will your thoughts be first and foremost on Jesus Christ? When you celebrate Christmas tomorrow, will Jesus be the guest of honor in your home? Or simply a passing stranger? When you exchange gifts with family and friends, will you remember to give Jesus the gift of your worship, the gift of your heart? You see, Jesus is the reason for the season, but sadly for many people, He is only an excuse for the season. Don't miss out on the true meaning of Christmas. Don't let this Christmas get away. The words the angel spoke to the shepherds so many years ago proclaim the true message of Christmas for everyone. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank You for the wonder and the beauty of Christmas. Lord Jesus, it's all wrapped up in You, even as You were wrapped up in the swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming to be our Savior. Thank You for being born into our world as a baby. Thank You for growing to be a man. Thank You for going to the cross willingly to die for our sins, so that we can be forgiven. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.